In the last episode of A Higher Branch, I identified the four early warning signs why you may need to do a life reset and why it's so important for you not to put it off. In today's episode, I'm going to go through the five-step process on how to perform the life reset. This is an important episode you don't want to miss because it is a life skill that you're going to use time and time again. I'm Sam McCool and welcome to A Higher Branch. Well, hello and welcome to today's episode of A Higher Branch. Now, I want to kick off today's episode by saying thank you. Thank you so much to all the new listeners who have become subscribers. Now, I produce this podcast in my spare time. I have a day job as managing director of a national law firm. And so my inspiration for producing these episodes is you. It's the listeners and the feedback I get from you and the impact these episodes have on your life. So if you could do me a favor before we kick off today's episode, take your phone out and give me a rating and review or just simply hit the subscribe button. It makes a big difference because it elevates our rankings and we can reach more and more people. In last week's episode, I said that I wanted to take you on a journey to upgrade all areas of your life. But before you could do so, you needed to return to baseline and you need to diagnose or identify whether you were living in four negative states. Because if you are in one of those negative states, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you can't move forward in life and realize your potential and go after your goals and dreams if you are stuck in one of these four negative states. So if you are new to this podcast and you haven't listened to the last episode, you really need to hit the pause button and go back and listen to the last one so you can diagnose yourself before you actually go ahead and do the life reset. Now, it sounds like doing a life reset is some big, awesome task. It's actually not. It's simple and it's a five-step process. It's one that you will need to return to. It's a skill, like any other skill you've learned at work, except this is about life, right? Now, at school, you know, we learned everything from trigonometry to Shakespeare, but nothing about how to overcome obstacles or what to do when we become stuck in life, when we become lost. So as a recap, the four early warning signs that you need a life reset is number one, you're feeling overwhelmed. That is when you are doing too much. Number two is when you are feeling lost, and that is when you are doing the wrong things in life, and it's usually to please others. Three, you are feeling stale, and that's when you're doing the same old things. And four, when you're feeling stuck and not doing anything at all in the eight areas of life. Okay, let's kick it off. Step one in doing a life reset is to work on the physical. Now, the four negative states I talked about in the last episode, they put you in a physical state where you are running on the wrong body chemistry. So instead of serotonin and dopamine and the feel-good hormones, you're running on cortisol and adrenaline. So we need to recalibrate your body chemistry as step one. So whenever I do a life reset for my coaching clients, I start with the physical. It's the easiest and it's about recalibrating how you feel at the physical level because just as the mind affects the body, likewise, the body affects the mind. So I'm going to take you through some lifestyle hacks that I personally perform. And let me tell you, I don't share anything with you that I haven't personally lived by and researched. And I've been researching this stuff for many, many decades, since the age of 19, in fact. So I'm going to share with you a new morning and nightly routine that you can start tomorrow. So I'm talking about the first hour and the last hour of the day, roughly. The first thing I want you to do in the morning on waking is to smile. Now, I know that sounds a bit creepy in a Mr. Bean kind of way, but there's a lot of research which shows that the first thought that you have on waking, it sets the tone for the rest of the day. So as soon as you become conscious, the first thing I want you to do is smile. The second thing I want you to do is lay in bed for 5 to 10 minutes just to slowly wake up. Now, some of the stuff that I'm sharing with you today, you may be thinking, well, I can't do this every day, Sam. This is stuff that you need to do when you need to do a life reset, when you're overwhelmed, lost, stale, or stuck. Once you get back to baseline, sure, you may not have to do this stuff every day, but this is certainly part of my morning routine and I do it religiously. But let's continue. So after 5-10 minutes in bed, I want you then to splash your face with cold water. There's a lot of research which shows that that neutralizes the cortisol that is there when you first wake up. And some of us wake up with higher than normal blood pressure, especially if we sleep in, because when we sleep in, our blood pressure rises. And I want you to get especially cold water on the back of your neck. Now, a lot of this stuff, I'm not going to go through in a lot of detail as to why and what the science says about this. And you can do that in your own time if you want to do the research. But for the sake of brevity, I'm going to just rattle these things off. The next thing I want you to do is to go outside. If you're in a position where you can go outside, stand barefoot on grass and face the sun, especially if it's early morning sun, right? Get sunshine on your face. If it's past the first 30 minutes of sunshine in the morning, just close your eyes and feel the warmth of the sun on your face and do some breathing exercises. Breathe in and out 6 times. Now, there's so many breathing methods out there where you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 7, breathe out for 8. There's also the Wim Hof method. There's also box breathing. And there's plenty of books out there and there's plenty of YouTube videos on different breathing exercises. For me, I think as long as your out breath is longer than your in breath, that will do the trick. Next, you need to get moving. So you need to go for a long walk. This is the most effective way to recalibrate the body chemistry. And I'm talking here, when I say moving, I'm talking about cardio. I'm not talking about strength training, because strength training sometimes can actually spike cortisol. And yes, you can do it when you get back to baseline, but during this period where you're doing a life reset, the most important thing is to do either cycling, swimming, walking, jogging, anything that gets the heart rate up and anything that neutralizes the cortisol that you wake up with. I feel like the best thing you can do is go for a long walk. And if you can go for a long walk in nature, even better. The color green in nature has a calming effect on your nervous system and it has a clarifying effect on your mind. Now, after you've finished your movement routine, the next step is to go home and meditate. Whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes or 20 minutes. You need to learn how to meditate. Meditation is simply just laying there or sitting there, putting one hand on your stomach and the other hand on your heart, and just focusing on the breath, focusing on your stomach rising and falling. And every time your mind drifts, you bring it back to the breath. That's it. That is meditation in a nutshell. A beautiful thing happens when you do meditation in the morning. Yes, your mind is going to wander. But it's going to wander to things that you need to do. So the next thing I want you to do after you come out of your meditation is to journal. Open your journal and start writing down your to-do list for the day. Now let's go to your nightly routine. That's the 1 to 2 hours before you go to bed. And this is what I want you to do. Number one is eat before sunset. Number two, eat light. Number three, you need to do a digital detox. No laptops, no iPads, no iPhones. This is absolutely essential for doing a physical reset. And we are still on step one here, the physical reset and prioritizing your health. Now, the next thing I want you to do is to dim all the lights. Preferably turn off all the lights. Now, we have really highly effective LED lights these days that mimic the spectrum of the sun. Problem is, our mind still thinks that it's daytime, so our body never releases melatonin. And this is all important because one of the most essential things in doing a life reset in this step one is you need to get more sleep. Sleep, just like meditation, is detox for the mind. And that's where all the beautiful things happen to us. Whilst we're sleeping, our mind resets. We go into a state of autophagy where our cells recycle. Deep sleep rejuvenates us, and REM sleep boosts our cognitive performance for the next day. Okay, the next thing I want you to do now, I know a lot of us want to be entertained before we go to bed. And so as part of this reset, I want you to either read a book. And when I say book, I don't mean books that are inspiring, action inspiring, self-help books. I'm talking about biographies or the kind of books that make you feel sleepy. And if you are listening and have a partner in your life, the other thing you can do is actually get your partner to read to you and take turns reading to each other. So one night on, one night off. So you take turns, you rotate. Now, if you don't want to read and prefer to watch TV, go to the settings on your TV and dial down the backlight, the brightness of the TV, and make sure that you are not too close to the TV. But most importantly, only watch comedies, things that make you laugh. Research overwhelmingly shows that having a laugh before going to bed is the best sedative on the planet. Now, the other things that you should do at night is hit the repeat button on what you did in the morning, and that is move, meditate, and journal. So you need to go for a long walk, weather permitting. If you don't want to go out, do some stretches, do some yoga, do things that are calming and relaxing. So it's not the same movement that you would do in the morning where you get your heart rate up. It's more gentle exercises. Meditation, breathing, and if you don't like to meditate and you're religious, pray. Praying is a beautiful thing that calms the central nervous system. And again, journaling. What do you journal at night? Well, journal, get things out of your head at night. So things that are going round and round in your head, just put them in your journal so you deal with for the next day. It may be things you need to do. It may be hurt feelings. It may be like feelings you needed to process. You need to process from what's happened to you during the day. Just put it all in your journal and then commit to going back and looking at the journal the next day. And lastly, the other life hack that you can infuse into your nightly routine, maybe not every night, is a bath or a sauna. You may have noticed that I have not mentioned anything about nutrition or supplements or any particular diet. And it's because this reset isn't about doing a detox for the body. It's not doing about a liver detox or a kidney detox. It's in the context of the mind. It's in the context of getting you out of these four negative states. Except to say that there are some foods that do make your stomach angry and makes your gut microbiome angry. Things like alcohol, caffeine, processed foods. Now, I'm going to leave it completely up to you because everyone is impacted differently. You know, for some people, they do well on coffee, others not so. But if you find that certain foods are changing your mood, then you need to eliminate these foods during this life reset. Okay, so that's step one in doing a life reset, and that is to prioritize your health and change your body chemistry. And I promise you that you will notice the difference just with step one after 3 days. Now, let's go to step two. Step two is about setting boundaries with the people in your life. Stop doing things you don't like simply because you want to make others happy. Stop hanging out with people who are not aligned with your values and standards. And stop hanging out with toxic people. Now, I know this is a very controversial topic because some of the people that are toxic may be your family members. And I know you cannot avoid family members, but you can limit your exposure to them. Now, how do you recognize toxic people? And it may not just be your family members. It could be friends that you're tolerating because you feel like, well, you need friends in your life and you don't want to be alone, but you end up compromising. So you hang out with people who are constantly complaining, blaming, people who are whining, and even people who do the same things and reminisce about the past a lot and don't have anything to talk about for what they're doing now or in the future. I don't know about you, but I like to hang out with people who have goals and dreams. And when I get together with them, they're talking about what they're doing in their life, how they're making a difference, how they're growing, developing, what challenges they're meeting. So this step two is a very important step. It's a difficult step, but you need to set those boundaries with the people that you recognize are not good for you. And you do that by being unavailable respectfully. Now, how do you recognize toxic people? I did quite a bit of research on this a few years ago, and it's people who are jealous of you, people who are competitive with you, people who in the past have betrayed your confidence or your trust, people who are always focusing on your faults, people who repetitively break their promises, people who are like self-absorbed or self-entitled, and they're always talking about themselves when you're with them. And, you know, people who contact you only when they need something. You know the ones, right? If you are listening to this and you are thinking, Sam, I find it difficult to set boundaries for the people in my life who I find negative or toxic or who put me into a negative state, who take more energy than what they give me, and you may be one of those selfless people. And my message to you is this: give yourself permission to say to yourself, even out loud, I say this out loud in my meditation sometimes, and that is, nobody is worth my health and happiness. Not my friends, not my work colleagues, not my clients, not my family, and not even my partner. Because life is too short for you to even spend 1 minute in one of those four negative states that you can fall into when you hang out with the wrong people and when you tolerate people who cross the boundaries with you. And that's why setting boundaries is step two in a five-step process on how to do a life reset. Now, I've come across people that I've coached in the past who feel like they can just do some of these steps and not all of them. They think, well, if I can get a little bit of the way there or 80% of the way there, that should be enough. But it just doesn't work that way. You need to stack these five steps on top of each other, because you can eat healthy, you can exercise, you can sleep more, you can meditate, but still feel like crap. You still feel like you have low energy. And it's usually because you're not feeding yourself emotionally by doing the things that light you up. Usually means that you're doing the things you don't like just to make others happy. So setting boundaries with people is not optional, it's compulsory. Okay, now let's move on to step three. And these next three steps is about the past, the present, and the future. Step three is that you need to heal the past. And you do that by first acknowledging and respecting your past and not dumping on your past. If you're listening to this, I want you to bring all your past with you to this present moment, good and bad, because it's filled with lessons, it's filled with learnings, it's filled with experience that you can build on so you can move forward. If you keep denying your past, then you're never going to be in a position to build the life that you want. You know, I have a quote that I've been saying to myself ever since the age of 19, and that is, you cannot materialize the life of your dreams if you have not healed the past and you are not happy with the present. So this is an important step to get you back to baseline. I want you to ask yourself, what is holding you back? What past regrets do you keep ruminating over? What hurts from the past are you hanging on to? Who do you need to forgive? Who are you blaming from your past? Do you need to forgive yourself? Are you blaming yourself for things that have happened in the past? It's over. You can't change the past. Now, you might be listening to this thinking, oh, well, it's easy for you to say, Sam, I have physical illness or injuries, I suffer from anxiety, or I've suffered from depression in the past, I have addictions, I have trauma, my life hasn't been the same since the death of a loved one, or since my divorce or a broken relationship, I've had past abuse, and I'm hanging on to a lot of negative emotions, such as anger or hatred or jealousy or envy. Now, I'm not telling you in this step three to fix these problems. I'm not saying that by listening to this episode, I'm going to give you the solution to those things. All I'm asking you to do in this step three is to acknowledge them. It's to name them. It's to label them. It's to identify what is holding you back. Now, I've listed a few things. So if it is traumas, if it is addictions, write it all down. Identify and face your past head on. Don't run from it. And when you have listed everything that's holding you back, all I need you to say to yourself and write down is, I'm a work in progress. My past does not define my future. That's all you need to do. Because in steps 4 and 5 is where the magic happens and you move forward in life with happiness and excitement. Which leads me to then step 4. I said that you cannot materialize the life of your dreams if you have not healed the past and in love with the present. Step 4 is feeling gratitude for your current life. And just as important is feeling gratitude for your past achievements, which led you to your current life. So for this step 4, what I want you to do is write down all your achievements for life to this date. A lot of us are too hard on ourselves. We don't realize how many achievements we've had in life. And we're not grateful for those achievements. We're not grateful for the qualities, for the effort that we put in, for the hard work that we've put in to realize those achievements. That could be completing school, getting your HSC, or getting into university, getting a degree, or the jobs that you've attained, or the skills that you've learned, or the books that you've read, the friends that you've made, the relationship that you're currently in, the first apartment that you purchased, the second house, maybe the achievements of having children, the achievement of getting a home loan, the achievement of paying off a home loan, the achievement of building a retirement fund. Whatever it is, you need to write it all down and write it down in your journal. Now, if you don't have a journal, any blank textbook will do. Now, we do have our own Higher Branch journals that are available for sale on ahigherbranch.com. And I will be talking about the Higher Branch journaling method in a future episode. But for now, I just want you to write down all of your life's achievements. And once you've done so, you need to give thanks. You need to give thanks for all those achievements. Feel gratitude for the person that you've become and what you've achieved. Now, a lot of us focus on what has gone wrong in life. And by having gratitude for your past achievements, you're starting to feel gratitude for what has gone right. You know, there's an old Persian proverb which says, I cried because I had no shoes until I saw a man with no feet. Meaning that we can always feel gratitude for something that we have in our life. Now, in my darkest of days in my life on this planet, where I have felt that there is nothing to feel gratitude for, I remind myself that I am alive, that I can feel the warmth of the sunshine. I can taste food. I can pick up my children with my hands. I can walk the earth. I can see the sunrise. I can listen to the rustling of the leaves. I can smell food. I can taste food. I live in a safe country where there is peace and security. There is always so many things that we take for granted in our lives that we need to remind ourselves to feel gratitude for. I get it. We all have obstacles. We all have, you know, chronic injuries or emotional hurts, or we're carrying negative emotions, or we've been hurt in the past by others, or we have limiting beliefs. You know, I'm not smart enough. I can't do anything right. I didn't go to the right school, or my parents messed me up. But let me remind you, nobody on this planet is walking around that is perfect. Even the most successful people carry around setbacks, obstacles, addictions, limiting beliefs. I believe that I've built a successful life, and I have to pinch myself sometimes when I look back and say, despite all my insecurities and fears that I've grown up with, and all the circumstances, fleeing Lebanon during the Civil War, leaving everything behind, you know, traveling around the world with my parents at the age of 9 and starting a whole new life, and all the traumas, you know, we went through as a family, and the things my parents went through, in spite of all those things, I love my life. And I continue to experience obstacles, but I go through these steps that I'm going through with you right now whenever I fall into one of those 4 negative states. And it helps bring me back to baseline where I can move forward. Which now leads me to step 5. And that is where you focus on the future. And you do that by writing down your new goals in the 8 areas of life. So this is the step that gets you excited about your future. And let me tell you, people who are excited about their future, it's impossible for them to fall into one of those four negative states of feeling overwhelmed, stale, stuck, or lost. Because when you're excited about the future and going after your goals in the eight areas of life, you run on happiness. You run on the right chemicals in your body. You run on dopamine and serotonin. So in this fifth and final step, what I want you to do is write down and ask yourself, what are my goals in the eight areas of life? Now, if you are new to this podcast and want to know what the eight areas of life are, it comes from the metaphor I use in my first book, A Higher Branch. And it's based on my thesis that I developed at the age of 19 that we have eight fundamental human needs, and that is energy, intimacy, support, fulfillment, belonging, growth, freedom, and contribution. So they're the eight fundamental human needs that give context to the eight areas of life. So the eight areas of life is your health, number one. Number two, love for intimacy, family for support, work for fulfillment, friendship for belonging, learning for growth, wealth for freedom, and charity for contribution. So in this step five, you need to have goals in each one of those eight areas of life. So under health, it could be that you want a certain body shape or certain energy levels. You can get really granular. For me, I have certain goals when it comes to my blood test results, my blood pressure, my resting heart rate, the amount of sleep that I get, the quality of that sleep, whether it's deep sleep or REM sleep. I track all this data. When it comes to the relationship with my wife, we have lots of goals that we write down together. With the family, at work, I have many goals. And I don't want to share them with you because goals are very unique to us individually. It's what lights us up. And one of the things you can do when you're writing down all your goals in the eight areas of life is you put on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most excited. After you write them down, ask yourself, how excited are you about this goal? And you can usually tell because when you read out that goal and when you visualize attaining that goal, you feel that sense of excitement come up to the surface. That's called passion, right? That excitement is passion. And the beautiful thing about passion when it comes to the surface, it gives you the courage to go after your goals and overcome any setbacks. So it's important that when you write down your goals, they should be goals that excite you a lot, because if you don't have goals that excite you, you're going to give up on them as soon as you experience a setback or an obstacle or a speed hump. But wouldn't it be great if you did not have to deal with a quitting mindset? And by having big goals that get you excited, then you will steamroll your way through any setbacks and any speed humps. And most of all, having goals that excite you lift your energy levels. And I believe that energy is the number one currency for the 21st century. Okay, to recap the five-step process, step one is a physical reset where you change your morning and your nightly routine. Step two is to set the boundaries with the people in your life so you stop doing the things that don't light you up. Step three is when you heal the past by not denying it, by acknowledging it, giving thanks for it, bring it all with you, good and bad. Step four is when you fall in love with your current life by listing all the things you should be grateful for and by listing all your past achievements. And lastly, most importantly, is step five, you're reimagining your future by focusing on goals in the eight areas of life. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and I hope it's given you something to think about and implement in your life as it kickstarts a journey that we are going to have together over the next coming episodes. Now, before you move on with your day, if you could do me one last favor by hitting the subscribe button to help us boost our rankings. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please give me a rating and review. It really helps a lot. But more importantly, it inspires me to keep producing content. And I always produce content with love for your potential and respect for your time. So if you could help me spread the message, I would really, really appreciate it. And if there are any topics that you would like us to cover in future episodes, please send me a message. I always read the comments and my team is always there to help me get back to you quickly. I'm going to leave you with a reminder that the past is in the past and that every morning is the dawn of a new day and your opportunity to hit the reset button and start a new life. On that note, I hope you have a great day, and as always, live consciously, my friends.